Hello and welcome back to the Stadio podcast. I'm Mr. Kwonga.
I'm Ryan Hun.
Ryan, how are you doing?
I am football wise, or
I mean, in life, spiritually.
How are you?
Spiritually. It was a bit.
You were under the weather, right?
I was actually
back to full fitness.
I don't like getting into all of that, but I was a bit. Had to cancel a couple of engagements I was really looking forward to this weekend in Hamburg and then in London, in the UK, because I was ill. So I'm on the mend, but thankfully, podcast is very much a sort of, put it this way, my Apple Watch doesn't go off when it doesn't go off. Oh, so you do a new workout when I start podcasting. So
does it go off when Manchester United are playing?
Dude, let's not get into that.
We hope everyone's staying safe, staying well. Couple of bits of admin. Righty's House is up. Ian and I talked a lot about Villa's win over Arsenal. Then Palace's win over Liverpool. A bit of a roundup of the Premier League. Women's FA Cup semi-finals. And then we talked a little bit about Scottie Scheffler winning the Masters. Go and check that if you want to listen to some golf stuff. A bit of admin this week. You and I are going to do Wednesday morning. So we can do the Tuesday night Champions League games. Then there will be a Righty's House straight after Bayern, and then you and I will do Thursday, so we can do Wednesday's Champions League games.
Yep.
So plenty of podcasts for the Champions League this week. So today we're going to do a super, very, very quick, like just headline roundup kind of stuff, and then we're going to talk about the main story of the weekend in Germany.
Oh, here it goes. Here he goes.
St. Pauli's 4-3 defeat at Hotel Elversberg.
Oh no!
No, seriously, you stop it. Seriously,
I saw someone recently was like, "Oh yeah, when Ryan does that bit," and I'm like, "Yeah."
Then he was just like, he was telling his friends about it. He said, "I saw Musa, and I told him about when Ryan does that bit, and all I could notice was the sadness in his eyes."
It's like that Simpsons meme, isn't it? With the whole class is waiting, going, do the bit, do a bit.
Do
and then
the
Ryan
bit.
Goes, Zweite Bundesliga. And goes, yay.
Zweite Bundesliga.
Beste Liga der Welt.
No, of course. We're going to talk about Bayer Leverkusen's Meisterschaft.
First ever champions. Bundesliga title. Wow.
Headlines for the weekend. I was just wondering if we could quickly shout out. Well, actually, do you know what I want to shout out to begin with? Kim Little's breakdancing.
I didn't see it.
Doing a little kind of 180 in Arsenal's win, Arsenal's 5-0 win over Bristol City in the WSL.
Did not see this.
I'd go and seek it out. It's very, very good indeed.
Sounds amazing. Actually, while we're on women's game, Manchester United beating Chelsea 2-1 in the semi-final.
First time, right?
First they've beaten Chelsea. Very good game, this. Prevailing 2-1, Mary Earps, the second half saviour, with one save in particular in the second half that was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Clawing away a goal-bound header. So they prevail. And this is, interesting final season for Emma Hayes. People are, the conversation, the noise is interesting. The performances have been strong a lot, but there's a lot of off-field stuff too. So that's definitely a space to watch.
Yeah, and also shout out for Spurs. Getting past Leicester to go to the FA Cup final. Very much looking forward to that at Wembley.
Yes.
Back over to the men's game. Can I shout out a really stadio-y game?
Yeah, of course you can.
Lyon 4, Brest 3, 2 red cards. Ainsley Maitland-Niles penalty winner in the 106th minute.
So good.
Lacazette gets absolutely cleaned out by the Brest keeper. And Maitland-Niles takes the penalty in his absence and does his very kind of... I mean, we've said this before. Is Ainsley Maitland-Niles the greatest penalty taker of all time?
No, he's the greatest low-key penalty taker of all time. Because he's the guy who takes the best penalties alongside everyone else, but probably gets the fewest shout-outs for his quality. So I think he's the best low-key penalty taker of all time. But certainly one
also,
of the best.
Also, just I'd recommend going and watch the highlights from this game and just keeping an eye on Lacazette whenever Lyon scored. Just a collection of really great celebrations.
Oh,
like,
so
just,
good.
But just, you know when like, when there's one mate who's just, who doesn't really hang out with the group, but they're having the best time in the club on their own?
Yes. Yeah.
Basically
yeah.
Lacazette in that game. Basically just, don't worry about, Alex will be fine. He'll find us later. Don't worry about
he's the gif of that kid like on the dance floor throwing shapes,
just
isn't he?
Shouting reload for every tune that gets dropped.
So extra.
It was so funny.
Oh, hey, look. Actually, Lacazette wins the Antoine Griezmann Award for players who should have stayed put at clubs that they were beloved.
Oh, nah, I think he had an all right time at Arsenal.
Yeah, but right, Leon, man. Leon is home.
You have, yeah. And he's having a great time.
Yeah.
Leon are in the European spots.
That's especially after that early season adventure.
that team's fun.
They were trying to feel something.
Definitely.
Talking of very Stadio games, Sassuolo 3, AC Milan 3, featuring an absolute Sundance of a solo goal from Rafael Leao.
Wow.
And I just realised this weekend that Leao means lion. I'm so ignorant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was just there like having a cup of mate, as you do. And I just thought, listen. Listen.
Lionel Musa.
Listen. He said this is a hipster podcast.
Fucking hell.
And I was like, oh, Marte Leao. Oh, yeah, actually means, yeah, Rafael Lion. So there it is.
There you go.
What a surname.
Shall we take a quick break and then do the big story?
Let's do it.
All right, man. So they are still undefeated in all competitions this season. Xabi Alonso's Bayer Leverkusen are champions, breaking Bayern's streak. Like we mentioned, the first title in their history, first Bundesliga in their history. They did it in style. They absolutely destroyed Werder Bremen.
Right.
5-0 at home. It really did feel like a kind of end of year party.
It did. It was amazing. Yeah.
Everyone got in on the act. There was a bit of rotation. Jeremy Frimpong and Alejandro Grimaldo were rested, as were Florian Wirtz. Patrick Schick was on the bench. They all came on, but they didn't start the game. But Victor Boniface opened the scoring with a penalty after 25 minutes. There were a couple of moments where Hincapié, despite playing like a load of time at centre-back this season, popped up in the Grimaldo role on the back post.
He was
almost dapping in for that amazing goal.
He was loving it.
I wonder if whether this is a thing with defenders who get to play or get to like venture a little bit, where they're kind of a bit like, this is my time. This is my
time. Of course it is. It's like when you give a drummer the chance or someone do like a solo. A drummer or a bass player, can you do a solo? And they're like, and they've been so responsible holding the rhythm all year. And in the final gig of the European tour, you're like, oh, go and do a solo. And they just absolutely smoke it.
It's like when Sheila E and Prince used to swap.
Exactly.
Is that what it is? Like Sheila E would just like, Prince would start drumming shreds. And Sheila E would come just like down on the mic at the beginning.
Here are the levels. Yeah, here are the goddamn levels. The thing about this Bayer Leverkusen team, and this game actually was the perfect illustration of their brilliance. It's very rarely that you get a game where you can say, what are they about? You point to go, this is absolutely Leverkusen. Werder Bremen turned up, put it this way, Werder Bremen turn up to spoil the party. The goal difference isn't the worst, like -9, I think. Decent goal difference. Lower mid-table, tough to beat, and they turned up to be tough to beat. They came with the express agenda of, and this is why I really respect them, they're not going to win it today. And the way they defended, like you don't defend that way. Like they did that with it. There was an edge to it. The niggly defending, the intensity, the way they played out. They didn't even hoof the ball clear out of defense. And that you could tell they were like, no, we're not going to invite pressure. We'll make it as hard as possible. And the way that Bayer Leverkusen break them down, to be specific, the chance you talked about, what's incredible about the seconds before that, Bayer Leverkusen are apparently doing nothing at all. They're just passing it around at the back. And the speed they switch from absolute calm to immense danger in like 3 seconds is incredible. Pass around the back, switch, bang, all of a sudden what they're doing is they're passing around and they're looking for mismatches all over the pitch. This is what I've realized now. They're looking for mismatches, switch out to the right, Teller's got it, and all of a sudden it's danger because he's out wide and they know he's going to cook someone because he's got five yards outside. Side. And then he drives it in and Hincapié, it's only a good save that keeps it out. And that is that's what makes them so special. They can go from being completely calm. They can go from playing elevator music to Sheila E in like 3 seconds. That's what makes them like the best, you know, like Napoli last year were just, they had the force with the, was with Napoli last year. And Napoli were just like the watch. This year it's been Leverkusen. And they've managed somehow to get that style of football and those results. It's amazing, man.
Matt Ford's piece for The Guardian, which was really good. I'd go and read it actually if you want a little bit more context on Bayer Leverkusen as a club, because they are, we've mentioned it before, but they're one of the few clubs that have an exemption to the 50+1 rule.
Mm.
Referenced a quote in Kicker way back in November, which said, Alonso has created a creature which resembles the Hydra. We're obviously talking about the mythical Greek monster that grew two heads for each one chopped off. And they followed up saying, you block off one route to goal and two others open up. And that is kind of how they've played all season.
Absolutely.
They've been this really exciting mix of not needing to be ball dominant, but they can be ball dominant if they need to. Not needing to torch teams on the break, but absolutely torching teams on the break if they need to. Being able to absorb pressure, but not only absorbing pressure. It's a kind of unbelievable what Xabi Alonso has achieved there. We haven't even kind of finished off the goals from this game because we've got some more to rattle through. But
Yeah. I've got like something else on the goals. So while we're just getting on, so they obviously win the game 5-0. What's interesting is each goal is scored with an increasing degree of ease, which sounds like an obvious thing to say, but it's almost like the opening goal had to be a penalty because Verde were defending that well. Mm. Hoffman gets brought down for the penalty after 20-odd minutes. Boniface slots it in the corner. And the second one from Granit Xhaka, that one, I mean, it's his second league goal of the season, I think.
Mm.
Cut back by Boniface, and then he just absolutely, just...
Well, it's like a power side foot. It's not,
yeah, exactly.
He's not laced it. He's kind of like placed it. He's not laced it. He's placed... Oh my God, that's a stadio.
There it is.
Don't
there
lace
it, is.
It, place it.
Don't lace it, place it. Listen, as in ball, as in life.
Unless you want it to be an angry goal, don't lace there it, is. Place it.
there you go.
Unbelievable. And the one thing I'm really glad is that they didn't flag like Vietz for being in an offside spot because he's offside. But he's kind of just wandering back, and I'm really glad that no one picked up on that. I'm also really disappointed that that Granit Xhaka didn't recreate his iconic hamstring celebration, because I thought, you might as well just get that going, man. Like, the only problem is that if he actually does his hamstring once, everyone's going to be like...
Yeah, exactly.
And they're like, no, guys, like, I've actually done my hamstring.
I think as well, it was such a euphoric moment because at that point, you knew the league was done. Like at that point in the game, because Verde offered nothing going forward, and that, you know, they wouldn't sort of take that personally, I think. They didn't offer anything going forward. So the moment was 2-0, like, this game's over. But Wirtz coming in at halftime as he did and just absolutely lighting the place up. That third goal.
Wow.
You know, it's this thing. We knew he could score goals, right? We knew he was a finisher. But the way he's been showing more of that long distance strike, we saw it in the friendly against France.
Mm.
And now he's just like, I'm just going to rip it from distance. The thing about him that's interesting is the power he generates, not the biggest dude, but it's all technique. Kind of like Foden, but even more, he's even more slight than Foden, to be honest. At least with Foden, you get an element of like, oh, the power, you can see some at least muscle structure. Like, the only person skinnier than Wirtz in German football is probably Musiala. And he absolutely rips it from distance. And the great thing about it is it's not even the worst positioning from the keeper. It's like this dipping strike. Almost like a Batistuta type,
Good.
So good. Gorgeous from distance by Xhaka. Arguably even better by Wirtz. That's for the 3-0. And the goals are just, the pitch is getting more and more open, of course, because Verde are more and more stretched. The fourth goal is, it's amazing for a couple of reasons, which I'm sure you pick up as well, but Wirtz goes through on goal, one-on-one, Roberto Baggio style, gives him the eyes, gives him the eyes, rips it in the bottom, opposite bottom corner. And then, as part of his goal celebration, is like, fans, get back in the crowd. Like,
I know.
Stop celebrating too early. There's 15 minutes to go or whatever it was. Let's just calm down and wait till we'll celebrate this title because we've obviously won the league. And it's amazing. It was like the most socially responsible goal celebration you'll maybe see all season.
He's 20 years old. Yeah, the best thing about this, though, was after that, where basically fans didn't bother getting back into the stands, but they just stood behind the advertising hoardings. It was like watching like a final game of the season in like 1973 or something.
Yeah, and it was very old school. And actually, I think there was a moment, because one thing that happened, I think Wirtz might have seen, because he's veering away to celebrate. And then one of the stewards, I think, stumbles or almost even falls over as fans come onto the pitch. And Wirtz sees that, bless him, he's so alert. And he's like, get back off. And it's so funny because it's so fun. It's like watching a head teacher in a corridor, because the moment he goes, get back on, they're like, yes, sir. Yeah, yes, okay, sir. And they literally scamper.
To his airline.
It was like watching a hummingbird. One of them changes direction so fast. It was like watching a hummingbird reverse. It was like, zzz, zzz, he's gone. So yeah, 4-0. And then the final goal.
In that though, there is actually a very legit reason for that, because if it got too gnarly, the ref could, in theory, award the game, like abandon
the game.
Lose
the points,
can give Werder Bremen a 3-0 win.
Absolutely. So that was really, really smart from them. And Xabi Alonso doing the same as well on the sidelines. And then we're in injury time. Well,
we're not in injury time.
It's half a minute to go of the 90. He gets put through again, out on the right flank, rips one from right to left, bottom corner, and then all hell breaks loose. Yeah. All the fans are like, screw this, we're going in. Ref's like, do you know what?
Yeah, Harm Osmers was just like, guys.
We're done. We're out of here.
You good?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Respect to Werder as well. Werder obviously had to agree to that to be like,
I mean, no one wants to be out there any longer when it's 5-0.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was it. And they got a tinfoil trophy from the crowd to use for now, because they won't be awarded the Meisterschale until the end of the season. But that was that. And they have won the Bundesliga with 5 games to go. They are currently on 79 points, played 29, won 25, drawn 4, scored 74, conceded 19.
Unbelievable.
Without looking at the table, who has conceded the next fewest goals in the Bundesliga?
Oh, it's Bayern still, right?
It is not Bayern. Leverkusen have conceded 19.
Is it Augsburg?
It's RB Leipzig, who have conceded 33.
What? They're 14? That's ridiculous.
Bayern have conceded 36 goals this season.
Bayern haven't been terrible.
No, this is the thing.
Leverkusen have been out of this world. They've been out of this world.
Yeah. There was a lot of stuff going around being like, oh, see other clubs like X, Y, and Z, this is what you should do. Like, literally go on a run where they may end up breaking the record for a club in the UEFA era for all competitions unbeaten.
This is interesting because the last 5 games, interesting to see how people go at them, because professional pride will not want them to go undefeated, because rival teams will not hear the end of it. So it's going to be a mix of respect and thanks for stopping Bayern's run, but also we don't want to be the generation that allows you to take this off us. I think that's really important. I think the thing I love about,
you know where they go next? Westfalen.
Wow, that's interesting. You know, it's interesting because, yeah, local, well, I suppose, yeah, local tie, I suppose, in terms of the region. But also think about Bayer Leverkusen, they haven't gone the easy way. Yes, they rested players in the first half, but I think that's more because, first of all, big European game coming up on Thursday,
yeah,
but also
they go to West Ham, like that's not a.
But also, I think the other aspect is knowing what Werder will do in that first half. You need to almost use your slight second string to wear them down, and then go at them with weakened legs, because that first half was absolutely what you expect from Werder.
I think that the good thing now for Leverkusen in terms of going unbeaten is that they don't need to pick up any. They don't need to pick up any more points, right? So they can, draws are fine. Like, they could literally get 5 more draws the rest of the season and it's going to be fine. They go to Dortmund next, and then they host Stuttgart on the 27th. So they play 2 sides going for Champions League in the next 2 games. And they go to Frankfurt, which is just never easy. Go to Bochum, host Augsburg, who are actually doing really well this season.
Yeah, they are.
And then they've got the Pokal on the 25th of May. Mm. So it's doable. I mean, if you've seen which, like even with the late wins this season, this is something we've talked about quite a lot. When we've seen teams, and I kind of likened it to last season, like seeing Arsenal win a few, have a few late wins, and it being a very emotional thing that kind of felt like the emotion was the thing that was pulling you over the line. While there has obviously been emotion there because this is a club winning the first title, the process at which Xabi Alonso has done it, I think, kind of speaks to
process is the word. That's
yeah,
the word.
It's how they've, I think it's kind of how the club operates. It's just very smart.
Hmm.
Doesn't matter who comes in. Like, Incapié can go and play left wing back, it's fine.
Yep.
Like, actually, Patrick Schick's going to go up front, or actually, we're going to put in Adley, or actually, Nathan Teller's going to start up front today, and then he's going to play out wide 1 week. And this whole sense of collective, I'm struggling to think of a performance like this from a club like this in recent years to this kind of level. Really. I know a lot of people might say like Leicester or stuff like that, right? But I think it's a different thing. I'm in terms of, this is like, do you know what? Like, if they keep this lot together and they, you know, Xabi Alonso is now staying, there is no reason, really. I said that they won't be favourites to win the Bundesliga next season, but the way that they are playing, that they have set the standard.
I think they are. I'll tell you why. Because whoever takes charge at Bayern is playing catch up.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah.
They're going to lose. They're going to lose. Whoever gets in at Bayern, no matter how good they are, they're going to lose 2 months or whatever for a club that's on that momentum that Bayer Leverkusen on. Also, the players that Bayer Leverkusen will now attract. And I don't mean high profile players. I don't mean like sort of Union going and buying Bonucci. I mean as in players who are being scouted by, young players that we don't know yet, who are being scouted by a ton of clubs, are going, actually, I'll pick Bayer Leverkusen because I love the path that Grimaldo's on, and I know they're going to need extra wing backs, and I know they're kind of, the workload is heavy on them. It's so exciting.
Players from the Premier League.
Yeah.
Players from the Premier League who might not be, you know, like, you know, one of the first people who springs to mind, I think it'd be difficult, but you know, you look at someone like Emil Smith Rowe, right, who hasn't locked down a place at Arsenal and his future's in doubt, right? Apart from wages, which are obviously, they'd have to
would
be different.
Be,
but
wow.
Players like that a few years ago, I mean, we talked about how we loved it when Callum Hudson-Odoi went there on loan. But that was to develop him because he would get playing time, and we kind of, you know, now you're talking like, no, people who are going to go there because they're going to want to play under Xabi Alonso, they're going to play for the German champions, and they're going to play in the Champions League. That is such a, I think that's why it was so, so clever and so key that Xabi Alonso said he was staying when he did.
Mm.
Because anyone who needs a contract locking off now, like, why would you leave? Really?
Dude, you know, totally.
Like, and also, if you're Leverkusen, why would you sell? Unless someone throws in like an astronomical amount of money for Florian Wirtz.
Yeah.
You don't need to sell anyone, really, because the extra income that you're bringing in at a club that already is able to call on extra investment from Bayer when they need to, but they've still done this on a modest transfer strategy and wage budget. You know, I think their wage is it third or fourth. I think it's the fourth highest in the Bundesliga, their wage bill.
This is the thing, like Florian Wirtz, what a power move that would be if he has a really good Euros and just hangs around.
Stay.
Because you don't
need to go anywhere.
You don't.
Also, remember that he had a massive injury couple of seasons ago, and
yeah, that's what made him go, not sideways, you know, he was injured, but yeah, still, yeah.
Like, the fact that he has returned to this level is amazing anyway, because how many players do we see come through who are unbelievable and they have a massive injury like that? He did his cruciate ligament, didn't he, and then never really hit the heights that we think. Like, that team is super balanced, kind of interchangeable in a good way, the way that they do it, because everyone knows the role. Everyone knows the process. Everyone knows how they want to play football. And it just, do you know what it looks like? In a world, you know, I said this on Writer's House, how we were talking about some of the reaction to the Arsenal-Villa game from an Arsenal fan's perspective, about how so much of football is discussed in, like, through a negative lens.
Mm.
And I mean, like, just taking the actual negative stuff aside, you know, everyone's waiting for someone to fail. Everyone's waiting for someone to bottle it. Everyone's like a fraud, all of this kind of shit. And actually, the thing about Leverkusen this season is just watching the amount of like Leverkusen games I've watched this season. And the thing that comes across is how much fun everyone's having playing football.
Mm, definitely.
Like, you can kind of feel that.
Yes, you can.
Which might sound a little bit fucking like snowflakey woke bullshit, but it kind of is. And if you're winning stuff, in a league that's been dominated for a decade by one club. But to push back on it,
yeah. And this is the thing I love about, and you know, you say this about, it sounds maybe a bit snowflakey to celebrate all this, but no, look, this is, what else is football for?
100%.
You're in a team where you're playing with freedom. And the thing I love about the 3-4-3 formation as well, what I love about it is you're always contributing and you're never overloaded with work. You're in a back three or you're in a midfield four where you've got people running ahead of you and supporting behind you. You've got, even if you're the lead striker, you can just be a playmaker if goals aren't coming for you. You're a playmate, you're a fullback, and you're a wingback, you can combine with other people. There's just, everyone can get involved. And this is the beauty. No one's got too much work on their plate. There are sometimes you see teams in different formations where you're like, oh, that person's overloaded. Leverkusen players are never overloaded. It's so hard to get the 3-4-3 right. But my God, when you do it, or 3-4-2-1 more accurately, it's amazing. And you mentioned someone like Smith Rowe. What I love about this is you've got the two number 10s. There's not even that pressure of being the primary playmaker because you've got Wirtz in there, Adley comes in and out, Hoffman, who's been fantastic. You could have like five number 10s at Leverkusen and get loads of football, because often what they do is they play one of the 10s as a false nine. We've seen that happen. So you're laughing. I love that you've mentioned Smith Rowe, because for me, that's a fantastic opportunity for someone like that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, just from an Arsenal point of view, and I hope he stays.
In terms of
someone who would actually, you'd be like, that is a great move for them.
Yeah.
There could be probably a whole list of people. The thing there is just wages. The wages paid in the Premier League are so astronomical compared to anywhere else.
I'm trying to think what Bayer Leverkusen remind me of. They're like, you know, you like household stuff. They're like expanding foam. You know, the way they just get into gaps and just fill space. They will shut off avenues. It's really interesting, like this configuration. And I wonder now if they're going to get copycats. Because you know how like successful teams then, you know the way that Pep changed the Bundesliga. I wonder what aspects of what Leverkusen have done will be things people look at and go, actually, we could do with a bit of that. We've got people that aren't fully comfortable in a midfield two, or midfielders who don't necessarily have the legs, but a back three behind them. And wingbacks can absolutely peg it. I wonder how many fullbacks will be converted, or wingers converted into wingbacks over the course of the next couple of years, because they've looked at Xabi and thought, actually, I could do similar. My one slight sadness about Leverkusen is that Callum Hudson-Odoi couldn't find his pre-injury form there, just because it's so sad, because his peak Hudson-Odoi, of course, is perfect for this setup, which of course is what Xabi was thinking when he first got him aboard, I think. But yeah, Leverkusen, just an absolute delight to watch. And again, the exciting thing is that the model feels sustainable. I think it was one of the pieces, I think it was Matt Ford's piece. They sold Moussa Diaby to Aston Villa and they brought in Jonas Hofmann, Granit Xhaka, and who was the third one?
Victor Boniface.
Unbelievable. Yep. Unbelievable. And Grimaldo came in from Benfica.
Leon Bailey as well a couple of years ago. Like they've sold to the Premier League in a really smart way. You know, it's like sold Kai Havertz to Chelsea. They've sold players in very smart ways over the last few years. You never know. It might only be a small window, but if the window is small, everyone's going to be on them. Everyone's going to be watching them, and they're going to be fun for a while. The amazing thing is that as the season progressed, it never felt like it was now or never.
No, never.
It actually became more routine, really. Even with the late goals.
Mm.
Even when games didn't go fully their way. Like, they haven't just like completely blown every single team away. They've had to work for it. But this is what I've said over and over again. It's been process, 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 probing, finding the holes, keeping to the system, like evolving the system game by game by game. And what Xabi Alonso has done and what those players have done has been genuinely one of the best things to watch this season. And like Granit Xhaka winning the Bundesliga is just
amazing.
Amazing.
What an arc. What a story arc. And no one can say anything. What I love about Granit Xhaka winning and being so central to it, literally central to it, is that all the chat, all the banter has to stop. Because the way that Leverkusen won this league was so dominant, right? This is what I love about it. It's so dominant that all the Leverkusen jokes, they got to die. The Granit Xhaka banter about the slant, about not being able to hold it together, that's gone. Like, it's just all ended perfectly. And also, to your point about process, just very quickly to give an example of that, from the Europa League, you look at the stats for that game where they had over 70% of possession, Leverkusen against West Ham. West Ham had only one attempt in the entire game on or off target, and Leverkusen had 33. Those are Manchester City levels of dominance. That is what they're dealing with. You talk about the inevitability of the late goal. The late goal is going to come, in the same way that if a 50-year-old man chases 19-year-olds around a basketball court for 3 hours, he will do his Achilles. It's going to happen, right? In the same way that Leverkusen are going to dismantle you, and there's no greater, I think, compliment than that. As my friend dropped me a line the other day when they won, he said, Leverkusen are inevitable.
I mean, yeah, they've done that. They've got the they've reduced opponents to the fewest shots per 90 in the Bundesliga, 8.34.
Goodness me,
they just don't concede chances.
They don't. No,
they've been really amazing this season. I think the thing for me is that, yeah, like you say, the way that German football is structured, you know, is very, very different to how it is in a lot of other countries.
Mm.
And there are, you know, this isn't the, put it this way, Bayer Leverkusen's Instagram account, the bio is no tradition since 1904.
It's so self-aware. It's so
self-aware. Yeah, like they're not, you know, they're not like, they don't get the rep like Dortmund does or a lot of these other clubs do. There are people who may kind of snark a little bit at their title win because it's not a club that is fully kind of adhering to the 50+1 rule. But also, this isn't a club that's just all of a sudden like started up 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's 120 years old.
Right.
It's an old factory club. This isn't the kind of stuff that we're used to elsewhere.
No.
And the way that they have done it has been just as impressive.
I think Leverkusen actually are probably even better regarded than Wolfsburg in that sense.
Yeah, I agree.
I think so. Because they feel slightly, not organic, but the whole point, and this is what Matt lays out so well in his excellent article, thinking about this is a workers' team. Like, it was set up because there wasn't much in Leverkusen. It's like, well, actually, might as well set up a club, a team to have people. That's as organic as it can be, I suppose. Yeah, you know,
wasn't
in the context
even called Leverkusen at the time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Is there anything else you want to talk about in the Bundesliga or elsewhere, or do we just...
Nothing can follow that. Nothing can follow that. Yeah. Florian Wirtz hat-trick to clinch the league. I mean, come on. Where can you go after that?
You don't want to talk about the Marcel Sabitzer taking a penalty and then the penalty that he'd taken getting overturned for VAR?
No, I don't. I don't.
Do you want to take a quick stop to the Premier League before we go? Because
yes, of course.
Ian and I did a lot of the Sunday stuff. So I just thought we'd get the thoughts of Moussa Kwanga on what happened on the weekend in the Premier League. Go for it. Your time.
Wow. Okay. So headline results. Arsenal 0, Aston Villa 2. Oh my God. Amen. Look. And then obviously Liverpool losing 1-0 at home to Crystal Palace. 1-0 at home. Well, losing at home for the second time in a few days.
Mm.
And without scoring, which is another wrinkle, and this is interesting. I mean, look, some very poor finishing from Liverpool, I think has to be said, in that game. But that result, as grim as it was for Liverpool, wasn't as surprising, I think, as the... Is this fair to say that? Because I think Glasner's a superb manager. So when I see a result like that, also knowing that Liverpool haven't always had the best time against Crystal Palace in the run-in, wasn't the wildest surprise. But the thing that got me about the Arsenal result was I thought they'd worked out some of these wrinkles in the Premier League. And I just felt like they had enough to score decisive goals in games like these. And the sad thing about this kind of game was a classic thing of the longer it goes on, the more
Less
you
like
fancy,
it's gonna happen.
Yeah, and this is the thing. even the opening goal for Villa, like with a few minutes to go, the way that like Havertz doesn't fully contest the cross, the way that everyone kind of defers for the cross, Raya doesn't really get his wrist to it. Everyone's kind of holding back, and then Bailey comes in the far post like this.
Everyone's kind of ball watching.
Yeah, comes in. Yeah, it was ball watching. I just thought, like, the margins, and this, a lot of people like say what they say online about this, but the problem is with this City team, the margins are so small. We know about the financial aspect, whatever, but the fact that you're six games from the end of the league and people are already going, oh, the league's done, even though it's not, but the fact that's the perception, the Premier League has a massive problem, Ryan.
That's the thing. That is the thing, I think.
It has a massive problem.
Because in any normal league,
yeah,
a club being 2 points clear with six games to go shouldn't be, that's it.
Mm.
Like, and I actually don't think that's it. I think that there are plenty more games to play, plenty more points to play for. I actually think all three sides will drop more points.
Mm.
A side who is second in the league should be able to lose a game at home to the side who is fourth in the league and it not be a catastrophe.
Absolutely. I was frustrated they didn't close it out once it was 0-0 until that late on. At that point, I think my one frustration was, okay, get the point. Because these are the margins, you know, at least you're not going to win. It's Villa, very good side, coming off a great Conference League performance. So they're high off that. Then also the Newcastle result against Spurs, to the point where Villa are thinking, okay, great, we win these and then we're up on our most direct rivals for Champions League place. And Watkins, obviously, in superb form. Lovely to see him. Spiky on and off, on and off the field. I love Ollie Watkins. So you've got a great collection of Villa players. Losing to them is a subpar result, but it shouldn't be. There shouldn't be a sort of doom and gloom. City beating Luton 5-1. A couple of things I love to hear. I love seeing Doku getting that end product in place because I think the only thing with Doku that I think he's been missing from the first season is just a few more goals. Does everything else perfectly, penetrates well, shatters defences with superb footwork and movement. Just needs a few more goals in that column, but those will come.
Can I shout out Josko goal machine Gvardiol?
Oh my God, that guy is just ripping them from distance.
Is Josko Gvardiol stepping into Yuri Tielemans territory where he only scores bangers?
No, he's stepping into Rodri territory.
Ooh.
See how Rodri was like, all of a sudden, I'm just going to start unleashing because everyone's standing off me. And Gvardiol now is bringing that. But my favourite moment in this game, this sounds really hipster, was actually the final whistle when you have Pep and Rob Edwards talking for an extended period. I'm like, oh, there's like, he really respects this guy. Like, you know, like there's a post-match, like, you know, nod. I love that. I love the kind of, sorry. Ross Barkley with a beautiful goal and a really poignant goal. As in like, this is who I am. These are the levels. And no matter what I achieved, whatever, this will always be like, I'll always be that guy. I love the quality of this goal. This was like when Beckham scored that banger against the Real Madrid when people were like, oh, Beckham can't dribble. This is like the Barkley thing. Like, oh, what did Ross Barkley get up to? And Barkley's like, you know what? I know I'm a six, but every now and again, I'm Rui Costa. And yeah, so love this goal. Love the Rob Edwards moment.
Though?
In this...
he wasn't.
Yeah, I think, in this configuration, he can play a six really well. I think how Luton play...
I mean, literally, where's the number six? Sorry.
Yeah, but the way that it's another. I just want Luton. Look, I'm biased. I want Luton to stay up because I want another season of Ross Barkley in the Premier League for Luton. I just love the way they play at their best.
I mean, I think it would be an unbelievable story if Luton stayed up.
Yeah, it would be. It would be really good win that 5-1 against a good Luton side, a very good Luton side, who may be a bit too open, but that's, you know, no crime in that.
I mean, yeah. I mean, like statistically, you would say that City maybe scraped it, you know, 74% possession, 4.32 XG to 0.51, 37 shots.
They've got a good run. They've got a good run in as well, City too, I will say that. Just elsewhere in the Premier League, very quickly, a quick shout for Bournemouth 2-0 draw against Manchester United, just because Solanke again doing the business and chaos off the field of United, Garnacho liking a couple of tweets which are critical of the manager.
Alejandro.
Yeah.
Be spicy careful. Stuff
but yeah, all in all, that was
Chaffney Castle beating Spurs 4-0. Great win for Newcastle.
Dude, Isaac and Gordon. The Anthony
sound
Gordon.
Like a
there's good. a cop duo, yeah. I will say this. about Gordon, I think just slightly unlucky to be part of a really strong crop of young wide forwards for England, because that is some tough competition. Isak, though, that thing he does, we mentioned it before about the way he cuts inside. You know that move is coming, but you can't because the step is so sudden. It's so sharp. Like his step is good. Van de Ven, who is a very good one-on-one defender, looking hapless. Poor guy.
That guy spent probably a little bit too much time balancing on his head. In a game. I mean, was it Isak or was it Gordon for the first one? Absolutely dropped him.
It was Isak. Isak did it. And then Gordon for the second one. He's like, oh, I'll try that too.
It was almost like, you know, he'd stepped on one of those things that they do in like in action movies to make cars, like for car stunts to like.
Yes, yes. To flip. Yep, yep.
Really strange to see. I've not seen the.
He skidded. He really.
Like it was, I think because maybe he was traveling because Van de Ven's really quick.
Yeah. I know you're right. You know, you're really right because the change of direction was so sudden. I rewatched the Isak goal actually. And the cut is so sharp on the replay. The way that guy's playing. He scored, okay, let me just get this right. He scored in six successive home games. No one's done that since
Shearer, right?
Yeah, the Emperor, Alan Shearer. Yeah. Just unbelievable.
Did you see the Art But Make It Sports thing about the Mickey Van de Ven thing?
No, I didn't. No.
Oh, I killed it. Worrying for Spurs or? I mean, any 4-0 defeat away from home is worrying, but it feels like Spurs have kind of like had good performances, but they've always got one of these in their locker.
Right. I mean, look, also, let's not forget, like, we always talk about the miss before the thrashing, but Timo Werner had a very good chance at 0-0. Really, really good. That goes in, maybe a different story. Look, they still got, it's not really a nightmare for them. Still got a game in hand. Goal difference, just 3 worse than Villa and 3 points back. This is not a disaster for them. Newcastle aren't going to catch them. The only real journey left for them is beating Villa to Champions League spot, for which they're ahead of schedule.
They've got the North London derby next week as well.
In the context of the start of this season, Spurs are sitting really pretty.
Oh, yeah.
And being absolutely hosed by Newcastle at St James's Park, it's going to happen to you now and again.
And fifth might be enough for a Champions League.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, you're right.
Any other shout outs?
No, I'm good. I'm good. No? I'm good.
We're recording this ahead of Chelsea, Everton. Just checking that Everton haven't been deducted more points or got some back, because you just never know. Premier League table in a shout for Catfish of the Year. Early runnings. You know, very much taking the early lead for a potential study of the
Manchester United being 7th with a goal difference of -1 is one of the weirdest things I've seen in a long time.
All right, I reckon that'll do us for today.
Sounds good to me. Yep.
Yeah. We hope everyone's staying safe, staying well. We'll be back Wednesday morning. There'll be Wright's House Wednesday after Bayern, and then Moose and I will be back on Thursday again. So we'll do 2 Champions League pods on Stadio, 1 on Wright's House this week. Don't forget to check the Stadio Archers plays on Spotify. Speaking of which, playing out on Coming Back by Bovell. Anything you would like to add, Musa Gwonga?
Nothing further.
Just same one thing. Come on.
Okay, look, I mean, since I've learned that from the last couple of weeks, rest up. If you're feeling tired, then rest up. That's all I would say. Because it's worked. It's done wonders for me. So yes, it's my little bit of advice. Housekeeping. Good housekeeping.
All right, everyone. Much love. Back with you on Wednesday.
See you then.